Hello and welcome to Kingmaker Quest episode 452. I'm your host, Ever Wheels, and with me as always.
Still somehow only 25 cents at the arcade. They didn't burn anything.
Nice.
Living with less inflation than everyone else, your man in Japan, Michael Baker, Gaiji Monogatari.
Well, that's just not fair.
Lower inflation, I think the yen's pretty weak.
All the prices are still going up, but compared to my personal experiences visiting Canada last summer, it's not, or just any random price I've ever seen on a sign in a news update from America or anything, we're doing a bit better here.
It's like if Japan can just hold steady at around 160 yen to the dollar, I can have a good vacation.
It was like 158 or 159 this morning, according to the news ticker.
Yeah, it seems to be seems to be 159 to the dollar right now.
Yeah. Let's see here. Saturday evening, dinner out, two adults, two children, one of whom is eating off mostly off the adult menu, comes around to 5,500 yen.
That probably runs to about $40? Yeah. That'd be my guess.
30-something, I think. Even doing the straight 100 yen to the dollar conversion, $55, it still seems a little cheap for America at this point. I don't know. Okay. I mean, my most recent big purchase was just a dental visit yesterday, because I chipped a tooth over the weekend.
Oh, okay, less hooray.
Yeah. Oh, no, I mean, I've had this one incisor in the on the bottom front sticking out for the last 30 something years because braces managed to bring it back mostly in line but not fully, so I knew something was going to happen eventually, and so I managed to chip it on an extra crispy taco on Friday night.
Nail that sticks out gets hammered down.
Yeah, in this case it suddenly became double pointed. I'm like, this is not feeling good on the tongue, so it wasn't painful or anything, so it didn't actually go that deep. The break didn't or anything. But yeah, I just walked into my usual dentist, who I visit once every not way too far apart, said hi, and had about an hour wait until they had an opening available for me, and so I did some computer stuff while I waited, and the total cost for a bit of filing, a bit of cleaning, and quite a bit of filling and capping there was about 1,700 yen. So
bad.
About $10, $11, yeah.
Yeah, $11 would probably be about the number there.
I mean, technically it was the copay, but still, it's like, yeah, okay.
An incredible expense at for any and all.
I had to take my daughter to the dermatologist this morning for a completely different thing, and it's a flat 700 yen for the doctor's visit and free medicine for kids.
It's Fire Miner. Good morning, Fire Miner.
Yeah.
Hey, Fire
Miner. This is why I continue to laugh at anybody who starts making the argument online for American-style insurance systems for everyone. Like, dude,
no. People make that argument? Why?
I have seen people attempt to make it, usually in a bad faith defense of the American system.
Stupid. So.
And you have to wonder exactly what level of, like, Norfolk syndrome is involved in there.
Let's move on.
Yeah, we have talked about neither of those things, Fire Manor.
Oh, which thing?
Which two things?
Wait, we just started. So
the Terranigma remaster, Super Robot Wars 4 translation patch, and Golden Axe animated show.
I've seen news of two of those things. I I do remember seeing Terranigma being hinted at a couple days ago, and a couple days in advance, and then this morning I was like, oh, they've actually announced it. Yay.
I was glad that it's not a hideous looking... There's no finish to that sentence. I'm just glad that it's not hideous looking.
I haven't actually looked too deep into it. Is it just a port, or are they actually remaking the thing?
It's a port with, like, some sort of, like, seemingly, like, emulator overlay style features, but, like, and some, like, minor things, like, people would notice that there's, like, labels that imply, oh, you can pop through items with shoulder buttons.
Yeah.
So, mostly a port with some minor chain. So.
But when do we get to the Illusion of Gaia?
Why are you starting it on this?
I don't know, why not? Never played Terranigma.
That's super exciting! So if you're starting in on like, well, they should have done X, like, why would you not say, well, why didn't they start with Soul Blazer, aka the first
one? Because I don't like that one as much.
Want to hit you with a shovel.
I didn't say I don't like it, I like Soul Blazer a lot!
Want to hit you with a shovel.
Oh my god, calm down. Calm down. Put your shovel down. We both want the same things, just in different orders.
Why would you start with the middle one? Did your brain...
Why would you start with the last one? I don't know.
What? Are we talking about the Heaven and Earth trilogy?
Yes.
Yeah. Like, Wheels is like, oh, I want Illusion of Gaia, and I'm yelling at it.
Well, I mean, I started with Illusion of Gaia just because I was the only one available in the rental store at the time.
I'm just saying, like, if you were given the chance to do, like, any given game, I would, like, if you're complaining that they didn't start with one, I would be complaining they didn't start with the first one, but...
Yeah. I was going to say that they start with the one with the highest quality base level of graphics that already has a completed English translation that was commercially released, just not in... I mean, yeah, this makes a lot of sense right here. So,
the other thing is that Terranigma was also, like, the favorite for many years.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's also the highest quality game of the three. There is that.
Highest quality.
Prettiest, most interesting narrative, best gameplay.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
I can't follow you on whatever Illusion of Gaia thing you're doing, Wales.
Yeah. Well, why would you bring up Grand Stream Saga, Fire Miner? Why?
It's kind of the fourth one. It's not very good, but it is kind of the fourth one.
It is very much the fourth game in the series, thematically at least.
Someone says that, yeah, and then I just picture people without faces.
Well, I mean,
it really is not a well-considered game in terms of it. But no. Yes, it is. I mean,
the switch to attempted early PlayStation 3D was not a smart one for them.
It did not work out. I think that if it had been a cool, like, PS1 era 2D game, that people would have a lot of nice things to say about.
It would have been much better.
Would. I still don't think, like, I think even that hypothetical version would not be as beloved as Terranigma, but I do think that if it had been, like, a nice, like, pretty PlayStation-era top-down 2D game, that it would have a lot of fans.
Hmm. Yeah. I mean, Terranigma also does have that wonderful, well, Europe got it, but we didn't, thing going on.
That definitely has aspects. Also, if you started with Illusion of Gaia, you would have to decide which title you were going to use.
Yeah.
In Europe, it was Illusion of Time.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But yeah, Terranigma has that mystique. It's very well beloved by seemingly both, like, fans and the creators. Like, that one seems to be the one that they got asked about the most, and the one that they were most like, yes, Terranigma should come.
It definitely showcases their skill with sprite graphics the best.
Yeah, it's a very pretty game.
I mean, Quintet definitely has its own style. Like, I mean, I know I've mentioned before, but, like, when I played Magic, I spent 5 minutes with this game. I didn't even realize it was a Quintet game, and I was thinking, okay, this whoever made this game really liked Quintet because it has a very similar style. It's like, no, this is actually Quintet. Oh.
Yeah. Quintet is fascinating. It is one of those studios that's like fascinating to me because like so much about like especially Soul Blazer made more sense to me after realizing that like this is where all those E2 people that left Falcom went. It's like, oh, it's a lot about how Soul Blazer is structured because surely Soul Blazer plays a lot like E2. In terms of how it tends to put quests together and like the tempo of moving through dungeons. I recommend thinking about that the next time that you play Soul Blazer. I also recommend doing what I did last time and change and have the character name as Soul Blaze Guy.
But Soul or Saul? S-A-U-L.
Yeah, it's S-O-L because it was like Saul Bad Guy from Guilty Gear.
Ah, okay. Working the references
Mr.
here.
Mr. Blaze Guy. Yeah, I'm very very happy with that. It like as is probably unsurprising, I'm generally in favor of let's mostly let Terranigma just be Terranigma. Yeah. And it looks, well, I think the announcement has announced it for just basically everything, like
yep.
PlayStation, Xbox, Switch, PC, like, and GOG PC at that. So like, probably not guaranteed, but probably no DRM option.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I'm happy for that. Like, Terranigma is a game that deserved to come. Yeah. Thing that Miner had mentioned, Super Robot Wars 4 got a translation patch, AGTP. Super Robot Wars 4 is the second to last, or third to last, in the original Super Robot Wars timeline, depending on how you are thing. Because it goes, the first game is disconnected, then Super Robot Wars 2, 3, 4 slash F, and F Final are the original Super Robot Wars timeline. F is like the PS1 slash Saturn upgraded version. I don't know if anyone's ever translated that one. I have not kept up, but 4 got a retranslation. I think AGTP, the like fan translation group that had done the classic games in the past, has been going back and sort of fine-tuning those, like doing significant updates to their translations. It's nice to see. I met the guy who does the actual like programming at AGTP some 10 years ago at a convention. He was a very nice guy.
Nice.
And then third thing mentioned, they showed a Golden Axe cartoon. Yeah. I know what Golden Axe is, and I feel like they need to get mostly people who don't. I don't think they're going about this the right way for either audience.
Hey, listen, if all those kids that watch those Sonic movies, you could see Golden Axe and the Sega logo at the beginning of the movies.
You could 100% sell a Golden Axe show, but so like what I'm aware of is that like the reason that there's some people that are excited about the show by a significant portion of the Star Trek Lower Decks writing group writing team, and like I know that had a repulsive first trailer as well. Say, did not care for what I've seen of it. It looks like they're going for parody pastiche of like somewhere between Conan the Barbarian and He-Man, and that doesn't exist anymore. There's not an audience that buys that unironically, and there's even one that buys it ironically.
But what about that big like, budget Hollywood? Never mind.
Yeah, that He-Man that just came out that just ate world historic shit. I don't know how much money that lost, but it's gotta be like at least 100 million. Let's see.
As I noted on about one comedy book I read a while back that I didn't really like, it was like one of the reasons I didn't like it was because it was trying to be off the wall without knowing where the wall was located. And is okay. that would that be yeah?
I think that they kind of know where it is, but it also feels really dated.
Yeah.
I mean,
not necessarily that the writer doesn't know, but maybe does the audience know where the wall is located?
Yeah. The audience does not have strong grounding in this, and that makes parody a really hard. Okay, yes, this is the line that, like, I saw a very good post about this from Inimitable Doc Future saying, the trailer narrator saying, like the game, heck yeah, let's freaking go, is violence. Even if you are marketing your television show at 50-year-old Funko Pop guys, that is too condescending.
Oh boy.
Yeah. It's one of those things that, like, definitely aimed at people our age. I'm saying that broadly, since there's, like, a range of, like, 7 to 10 years. But, like, still, you're too old to be your primary audience at this stage.
Like, aiming for the people who may have actually seen it in a game center or arcade.
Huh. Yeah, like, if you're aiming for people who remember what Golden Axe is, gone too far, you need to sell them Golden Axe, and selling them a parody of Golden Axe is nearly, like, not strictly a parody, but, like, selling them a comedic Golden Axe that's, like, yeah, I don't think this is the time.
I mean, the first rule is just make it good to begin with.
Yeah, I don't think it's impossible, but...
Yeah, but I mean, it sounds
it's
like...
It's not a good trailer.
It's not their goal in making it. They were hoping to bank on some nostalgia.
Also, just out of curiosity, I looked it up, and... That Masters of the Universe film made $114 million against a $170 million budget, which means that with marketing, it probably lost at least $100 million.
Out of curiosity, how would that compare to the first Masters of the Universe movie, which I do vaguely remember seeing in the theater when I was like 8 years old?
Take a look at that, because that definitely also lost money, but it was a limit to how much money it could lose.
Yeah.
Just given how much
it definitely had the,
lower...
It definitely had the best Skeletor, but other than that, it was just
is
like...
Is that Langella? Earth?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, so let me pull this up. 1987 film.
Okay, so I was 7 years old at the time. Okay.
Yeah, so that film...
At the height of my ability to appreciate fine theater, yes.
That film came out and made $17 million against a $22 million budget, which means that, like, on paper it lost $5 million. In reality, it probably lost closer to $15 million. Orders of magnitude less money lost than the recent one.
Oof.
Even if you adjust for inflation.
And also considering that it was basically one huge advertisement to try and sell more of the toy line.
Yeah, the toy line kind of doesn't exist anymore, so...
So it
really couldn't help anyone.
It has lost its raison de commerce. So.
Yeah. But yeah, like I said, allegedly a bunch of the writing staff on this new Golden Axe is people who worked on Star Trek Lower Decks, which I have heard good things about, and which had a terrible debut trailer as well. So it's not impossible that this will actually be decent. But I do think that it is notable that Lower Decks had a lot more context for what it was parodying, as opposed to kind of a broad of, like, Conan the Barbarian-style, like, warrior epics that just don't exist in.
Also, it's based on a property that's still relevant.
Yes, like, Star Trek Lower Decks was announced... Star Trek... Cortex was announced alongside like the big 2010s attempt to like bring Star Trek back into like TV relevance again.
Mm-hmm.
And so like as a piece of that puzzle, it made sense. Golden Axe, like there the last quote unquote big Golden Axe game was an Xbox 360 game so terrible that they like essentially just immediately disavowed it. Golden Axe Beast Rider. And before that, most recent Golden Axe game, Golden Axe The Duel, a Sega Saturn.
Ooh.
Like, this is a franchise that could charitably be described as moribund.
Well, I mean, you know, in Sword and Sorcerer land, moribund just means more stuff for the Necromancer to work with.
Oh. But yeah, I'd like this to... I would... There is a game that is some stage of production for Golden Axe. Don't think that these two pieces of brand will end up anything like synergistic, but...
Unless the game turns out to be a game version of the cartoon, and suddenly it is a slapstick brawler like the Simpsons game.
You know what? That would be a little inspired. But little we saw... That might actually
have better success.
Yeah, what we saw was some sort of, like, proof of concept looking footage in a prototype. Real, like, 5 years ago. God only knows what the game actually ends up looking like. A lot of the stuff that they announced at that time seems to have initially been intended as, like, some sort of component of Sega's now-canceled Super Game concept, if we remember that. That was extremely funny that they spent years and years talking about Super Game and then quietly, in an investor meeting, said that Super Game was canceled. Without ever explaining what Super Game was, I assumed that it was basically what Fortnite is. But we talked about that when it... Golden Axe... There's a way to do it, but honestly, I think there was honestly a lot more of a path by just treating it like a real show. Like, there's not a lot just genre TV of the fantasy variety that isn't like Game of Thrones or Lord of the Rings. Like, sword and sorcery epics into dead.
Yeah, and that's kind of a shame.
There is a market opening. People do like fantasy, and this kind of... We're not doing high fantasy, we're not doing, like...
I mean...
Medieval politics fantasy?
No, I'm... I was going to say, it is the original high fantasy here.
Yeah, we're not doing Legendarium type fantasy.
No, not the lore-heavy socio-political fantasy, no.
Like, just
Basically, it's not that far from the She-Ra reboot.
Yeah, She-Ra...
She-Ra developed out of that same style.
Yes. Absolutely. The way I always put it when I'm thinking about, like, how much people overspend on streaming services, like, is that streaming services should be the ideal home for things like... For things we had in abundance in the 90s, like fucking Xena. Which is to say, a show that you produce a bazillion episodes of on the cheap, and then people just sort of shotgun them without having to worry about how they connect to each other, because they're not watching that closely anymore.
Yeah.
Like...
Another really good example of a sword and sorcery series that...
Yeah.
Was strangely popular. So, or not strange. It was... Word here.
Where Sam Raimi got cut his teeth a lot.
Yeah, it was a very heartful series. So,
like,
you could feel the love.
Yeah. It was made on the cheap by people that cared. It, like, you could make a bazillion episodes of that a year without bankrupting yourself. Ideal, like, streamer show fodder. Like, every streamer makes shows that, like, cost the like GDP of a small nation for 8 episodes a year. And like that doesn't make any sense, but whatever. Like that's, if you had asked me to will a Golden Axe TV series into existence without any like studio restrictions about what they think the market is, that's what I'd have made. A relatively cheaply produced, like, you know, live action or cartoon, honestly, either works. Like, series that's like, it's taking itself seriously, but it's not a drama.
Like, basically, it should be like the local cable access shows, homebrew, whatever. Have fun with it.
If
it start increasing the budget as it gets more popular and see how it goes.
Like you do not spend anyone's GDP on this.
Need to know right now what D&D person came up with mimics. I need to know.
Has to be Gygax.
Those are ancient. That's probably Gygax himself.
Why?
So it just got killed by one.
I hate mimics in all their forms. Like classic D&D really reveled in.
Yeah, but something that's that basic to the game, it's almost certainly Gygax or one of his group.
Like that probably got brought up in like the very earliest.
Yeah. No, I mean, because Gygax is also famous for making all the monsters that punish the players for not being incredibly specific about how they describe searching an area. All the things
all that sorts
of themselves as walls or floors or ceilings. Yeah.
Yeah, the beauty of like ancient D&D where you could make a room whose every constituent piece and like structure was secretly just a monster.
Yep. Okay, so it appeared in the first Monster Manual. The original, and which was produced by Gary Gygax. So yeah,
good call.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I mean, it's a pretty safe bet. I mean, anything that's that's that basic to D&D that is not obviously ripped from Western mythology is almost certainly going to be his imagination. Either his
especially
imagination
something
or
that player adversarial.
I was going to say something retributive to the players he had at the time.
Yeah. See, also the Rust Monster. Anything that can level you down.
Yes. Yep. Like I said, the adversarial approach.
Yep. Do you remember playing Baldur's Gate 2 and then getting hit by a vampire and getting level drained? Oh.
Mm-hmm. I remember playing Baldur's Gate 1 and 2 and being like, oh god, I hate how death rolls work, and then stop it.
Yeah. But there's a whole part of... In Baldur's Gate 2, if you join the Thieves Guild, then there are vampires from their guild who will attack you on sight and just level drain your whole party, and it's horrible. Yeah.
So what's Fireminer saying in the chat at this point?
A lot.
Okay, and we should get to it.
Someone else should read it. I nominate someone else.
Too bad.
Okay, what's how far back are we going here?
The only things we've discussed are Golden Axe.
Okay, hang
on. The Golden Axe Super Robot Wars 4 Terranix.
Okay, so he asked about the Terranigma remaster?
Yeah, we did that bit.
You did that, okay. Golden Axe Star Trek. Okay. I know one or two people who used to work in Hollywood Productions. They said that instead of filming in Georgia, the state, studios have moved to filming in Georgia, the European country. If the production costs have gone down because of that, you have to ask how much has the marketing and other expenses increased, or is it all a money laundering scheme where the heads of production all give themselves huge bonuses?
The answer to this is probably yes to everything, but especially to anything that gives the bosses more money.
I'm just going to say yes to that question.
Yeah, there's definitely skimming going on, but there is also like, if you compare what shows looked like then and what they look like now, like they won't let a show on TV TV that has that many obvious, like, puppets or whatever.
Yeah.
And I think that's a mistake. Like, every major movie and TV show is fighting for the, like, time/money of a handful of VFX houses. They're getting, like, fighting to keep it cheaper, and it's like, just make a practical effect puppet. I don't care. It's cheaper. I promise you it's cheaper. Yes.
And people like them better. And they look better.
And I was going to say, and depending on how you do this practical effect puppet, it will react. I mean, light will react to it. The lighting will react to it in ways actually.
You don't have to send this back for re-rendering.
Without the rendering, yeah. Or even not. Yeah. I mean, I was like, last year on the airplane, we watched the Cells at Work movie. And it's like, it's very obvious that whoever did the special effects, it was a combination of practical effects for most of the outfits and a certain degree of current style tokusatsu TV show CG animation.
Yeah.
If you've seen any Masked Rider episodes recently, it's like hilariously bad stuff. But
Lee, I do think that, like, these studios should be taking cues from Toku, because, like, those shows are made currently on the cheap.
Yes. I mean, that's where the word tokusatsu came from, basically. It just means special effects, but still.
Yeah.
It's like the story of how the Godzilla suit came to be. Did you ever hear that one?
I don't think I've heard this exact one.
Some of the guys at Toho Studios, they saw Ray Harryhausen's Beast from 20,000 Fathoms and thought they really wanted to do their own adaptation of that. Then they looked into how much the claymation cost.
Yeah. Which,
if you have seen Beast from 20,000 Fathoms, it is one of Harryhausen's best pieces of work. And it looks really nice, and the claymation cost a lot of money. So they decided to instead do it with a guy in a rubber suit taking down cardboard models of major buildings in Tokyo. So. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like, there really is, like, something to be said for, like, find a solution that doesn't cost moon.
I mean, just look at, like, the cosplay community on any given social media platform. Seriously. They come up with stuff that it looks insanely good. And reasonably durable, since it manages to survive a convention or two of wearing, for a lot less than it would cost to render those things in CGI. So.
And it would look better. It would look better. It often looks better. CGI.
Yeah.
Yeah, please just make something that doesn't cost a bazillion dollars.
Yeah. Or, one of the nerdcore artists I watch relatively often, Stupendium, on one of their videos, people were commenting about, there was a lot of computer graphics work done in it, but some of the things shown in the graphics were reflected on the singer's sunglasses. And so in the comments, they were talking about how, they had actually done it this way and had a feedback screen right in front of the singer to actually get the light correctly. It was all a practical effect on that side. But it matched so perfectly to everything else that was going on with the scene that people had assumed that they had somehow CGI'd perfect reflections of these computer screen readouts onto these mirror glasses. It's like, no, they're just real mirror glasses reflecting a real screen.
Yeah, I think the other thing that unfortunately probably causes a lot of this reliance on CG is that it means that you can make extreme changes in post-production, like, after you've shown it to, like, a test audience.
It's getting to the point where they are CGI-ing standard bare-ass rooms.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. Yes.
As people have been joking at every, like, Avengers Doomsday trailer, it's like, I don't think any more than 3 or 4 of those people were in the same room at once.
Hey, I mean, Spider-Man Far From Home, the scene with Nick Fury sitting in a chair in a very bare hotel room with a gun. Everything about that, including the gun, was CGI'd.
For no good reason. The only thing we have escaped is that no one has attempted to try the 2011 Green Lantern film idea of just be a suit. Fuck it. Yeah. Got rid of costuming department as well.
Everything.
Just the attempt to winnow down as many costs as possible by
while ballooning this other cost.
No, because as long as they can keep conflating it into one department, that's only one set of employees they have to pay.
Or contract, too, as the case may be.
Yeah.
I was going to say, didn't Disney get rid of all those people? The contract?
Yeah, yeah, they contract, like everyone else, which is why things keep looking shittier, because they, everyone's competing to contract a group of employees that are getting paid less and less, so you're getting... fewer people being paid less to try to push these out as fast as possible, but the contract fees are going up because they're very busy.
Yep. And they're losing so much of the institutional knowledge on how to do some of the stuff too.
Absolutely. They need to rebuild.
I was going to say, did you ever see any of the interviews for the guys who made like all the aliens for the first episode of Farscape?
Oh yeah, because there
are some fun stories in there, some bits of wisdom, including one where it's like, yeah, this thing fell apart like 5 minutes after we taped it, but you know what? It only needed to last.
We got the shot.
It
was not the most expensive thing to make in the first place.
Yes. Yep.
If this treasure and chest is a fucking gimmick, I'm going to scream. Okay.
Yeah.
Attack it first.
You can't.
Oh, okay.
Moving into it and attacking are the same action.
Yeah, because in Dark Souls, I got in the habit of just attacking every single treasure chest.
Well, that
actually has a few different tells.
You can see them breathing, Joe. It's
that part is disturbing. Really upsetting, actually.
Yes. Okay.
You have binoculars and you can see the ones in Dark Souls breathing. Mm-hmm. The chain that hangs off of them is actually also in a different direction. For
yeah.
It.
Yeah. Okay.
Nick. But yeah, I hate those creatures. They're awful.
Because don't they just they grow legs too?
Yeah, they get really big legs and arms. But if you're fool enough to try to open them, you just get chomped.
Yeah.
But if you have enough health, you'll survive it.
You'll survive, but it sucks. It looks awful.
Yeah,
I do not like the idea of things of being bitten by a large anything.
Fucker.
Okay. What else does Fire Miner got for?
Oh God! Why? Why? No!
I wonder what happened.
I'm alive. I'm alive. It's all good. We're good.
Is this running on Evercade?
Yes.
Wow.
It's technically an Amiga game. Is this
that makes perfect sense?
And this is not an old game. This is a new game.
That's what I would want. I do. The Evercade is all those indie games and stuff, you know.
Yeah,
there's a lot of them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What else was I gonna say? Like, because for an indie game developer, like, it's not gonna sell the most, but it's selling to a very dedicated audience, so you can like reasonably guess how many it's gonna sell.
I think this is coming to Steam next month, but they also made a Game Boy version that
add-ons.
I think it plays the same, but it's like a top-down
view. It's just cool that they did it.
The isometric, yeah.
It's just one of those. It's one of those marketing flexes. Like, yeah, we managed this and limited time, guys. Yeah.
Speaking of Amiga games, I am going.
Check it out, people.
Yeah.
Speaking of Amiga games, I am going to take a brief aside and make fun of the James Pond collection.
Oh God!
So James Pond was a James Pond codename RoboCod was a. I don't think they knew what they were. Which they couldn't seem to decide what movies they were parodying. James Pond was a series of platformers for the Amiga, but you know it shows up on Genesis.
I messed up the developer's name. It's Badger Punch Games, not Badger Games. My bad.
It's important. James Pond was a trilogy of like Amiga platformers that also came to things like Genesis, the Amiga CD32 for some ungodly reason, Super Nintendo, all those. They announced a collection, and it's the trailer was just all AI, all. Ugh. And then they showed some of the assets for the game, and they were like, "This definitely was not made with AI." And everyone looked at it and was like, "You know, this like finalized asset looks like it's got like you just sort of generated an asset, and then like for the process." Images that you showed, it just sort of looks like you removed some detail from the final asset and then said that was the intermediary asset.
Oh, the...
So, yeah.
The guy in the cow suit?
Yes.
I saw that. It's like, oh, yeah, yeah. If you look on at the cannon on its arm, in the original version, it was very obviously a milk...
That was the joke.
Yeah. Milk barrel, and it's not... Mm. In the new version,
a detail a human would not have met.
Yeah,
but yeah, like so just one of those like come and collect your shame, because like the small audience of dedicated like Amiga nerds that would have like happily purchased a James Pond collection are now running away in disgust.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. See, I do not have this open because I am stuck on my phone at the moment, and so this is why I keep being rude and asking someone to check what questions have.
No new questions on there.
But yeah, so I'm just gonna make fun of James Pond some.
Oh, you said something about James Pond. Or did you already... Is that what led us to this discussion? Sorry.
No. I started in on James Pond apropos of nothing.
Okay.
Other than the existence of the Amiga.
The Fireminer said, people strongly believe that the James Pond collection used AI arts in its marketing material, but the publisher's not. It's a tug of war online now. Oh, yeah, that's exactly what we were just talking about.
I just accurately predicted that it would come up.
Yeah.
Yep. I mean, the publisher can claim everything at once, but no, it's rather obvious.
Yeah, this is a case where, like, I'm usually willing to give people a benefit of the doubt, because, like, a lot of stuff, like, people will be like, that hand looks weird. And it's like, yeah, it looks weird because drawing hands is hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to do something right now.
Yeah.
That most people can't do when they have a game, and I'm going to pull out the manual for this game.
Ooh. Wow. Mr. Fancy, I got manuals.
I do, and it's in full color.
Wow, look at that.
I've been having a good time playing Indiana Jones and the Great Circle.
Oh, that game kicks ass.
I've been very impressed by the Switch 2 port. Is it the prettiest version? No. Does it run the best? No, but it runs very respectably on a handheld.
Also, when you purchase a physical copy, you actually get a physical copy, unlike the PS5 and the Xbox versions.
That's true.
Basically, game keys.
I ended up buying it on Steam, and then it let me download my Xbox save from the cloud, so I was like, oh, that's cool.
But yeah, I've been having a good time. It's a much more open, like, that game has some sections that are much more open than I was expecting it to, and that gives it a very distinct identity.
Yeah.
And I picked up the Order of Giants DLC when it was on sale, so it'll be fun.
Yeah, thanks for pointing it out to me, by the way. I would miss that. So.
Yeah, it seems to slot directly into the core game, which was surprising to me. Like, I saw a guy, like, a quest giver, because I wouldn't talk about it. This is an RPG. Like, it's a light RPG, but...
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
And,
this manual has humorous quest for all the monsters.
Continue. It's important. But yeah, the quest giver for Order of Giants was just there, and it's like, oh, I'll just, like, okay, yeah, he's just in Vatican City. And I start talking to him, and then I get to the point where it's like, Adventurer or Giants, and I was like, oh shit, that is just a DLC. Didn't even realize. But yeah. A lot of fun. It has like a light patina of like an almost Deus Ex style structure. Certainly nowhere near as like open to different like play styles as that, but in terms of like how it structures like side quests and events, it definitely, and the way that it open that, well, not open, but its hub areas are structured, definitely gives me that feel. Very good.
Just the bomb.
Also, I can whip the man.
Yes.
Okay.
What?
No, go ahead. Can you finish that, and then we'll talk about Roguecraft a little bit.
Okay. I chuckled a number of times because I've gotten to punch the shit out of a bunch of black shirts, but I also appreciated the like excuse that Indiana Jones makes to himself the first time that you just steal some money, where he just mutters, "Fascists shouldn't have me."
Very true. Yeah.
Now go on to the Roguecraft.
Well, I was gonna say Troy Baker does a very, very good indie in that game as well.
Oh, it's an unsettling an unsettling impersonation of young Harrison Ford.
Yeah. All right. So I actually pulled out this manual because these gems keep popping up that give you like permanent buffs, and it actually does say in here that defeating monsters eventually makes those appear, which is what I was curious about. They have like funny descriptions in here for all the monsters. Like one of them is named Glthulhu, but there's a blue variant named Blue Thulu.
I knew that had to be where you were going.
There's a ghost great. In here, and the name of the ghost is just Gary.
What? Yeah, love it.
It's scary.
Gary the ghost.
Comes Gary.
Scorpio is the scorpion monster.
Well, that's easy enough.
Chiklathotep. The heck?
Nyarlathotep.
I was going to say, is it a mummy?
It looks like a chicken thing. I don't know.
It must be a chicken mummy.
Here's the description. This is what happens when you feed hapless chickens after midnight.
Okay, so it's also a Gremlins joke.
All these grotesque abominations don't have legs.
Okay. Which game is this again?
Roguecraft.
Roguecraft.
Crawling K.
It's a beholder that's just named Oogles. There's a monster with no picture that just says, "It waits, comma, dreaming." What depraved, mythical, tentacle-flailing eldritch horror awaits you at the deepest level? Okay. Also, the snake monster is just named Snark.
Snark.
That's what I'd have called it anyway, so... Yeah. You know what?
Good times. Fire Miner has... Oh, God! What the hell?
Did we miss something?
No, something about the chicken. I'm fighting one of those chicken monsters we were just talking about.
Oh, thank God.
Okay. It looks just like the normal chicken, and then when it attacks, it morphs into the whole monstrosity. It's disturbing.
Oh, boy.
It could also be a Nyarlathotep reference.
Yeah, like that's definitely the joke they're going for with the name.
Yeah.
The crawling chaos.
I didn't realize it was supposed to be a Lovecraftian... aimed game when I first started, so I was like, Hotep, that sounds like a mummy.
No, that's understandable.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of why Lovecraft named him that. It was the Black Pharaoh.
Mm. Oh god, I just realized this level's name is Clucking Hell.
Oh, you should have seen that one coming.
Yes.
Seriously.
Stay tuned for 2 hours of discussion on cult classic film Bubba Hotep.
That was a really funny movie.
It's a very, it's there's a reason it's cult classic. It's got some real pathos to it, while also being very fun.
Like, did they ever actually make Bubba Nosferatu?
They tried to get that off the ground for like 10 years, and it never happened.
Dang it!
Yeah, and now Bruce Campbell has some sort of terminal cancer. Well, not terminal, but like bad cancer.
Oh
yeah.
R.I.P. Well, not R.I.P. yet, but like I hope his treatment goes.
Yeah.
One of the most fun to ever do.
Fireman or something about Mr. Nuts.
Oh god, Mr. Nuts and Mr. Nuts 2 hopping mad?
Somehow another SNES mascot platformer is getting a sequel. It's Mr. Nuts. The sequel we're talking about is originally an Amiga game. It was supposed to come out on the SNES Genesis as Mr. Nuts 2, but didn't. Strictly Limited will release the SNES Genesis soon. Oh my god. Why?
I assume this is Mr. Nuts hopping mad.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, I'm gonna be real with you, this is a fully unremarkable game, and you will not see me spend money on it. Cute that they're doing it, don't, like, if you love Amiga-style platformers, you're like, go right ahead, but I was just warning wheels off of don't play Jim Power, you'll throw up, so.
I didn't know the Amiga-style platformer was a thing.
It's basically like a Genesis, like what you associate with like the lower rung of Genesis platform.
Dude.
Like a lot of those started out as Amiga games. And Amiga had, the Amiga had support for controllers with multiple buttons, but most games only bothered supporting directional buttons and an action button of some sort. Meant that a lot of times up was jump, which meant that a lot of times the design had to be very strange. Monstrous. Dreadful. This became such a burdensome aspect of their design that, like, modern controllers for old British computers and, like, the Amiga and shit will have a second button that is just mapped to up. So that you can use the D-pad while jumping without it being awkward. But yeah. Ironically, Super Mario Brothers almost had that control.
Well, I'm glad. Ooh. I mostly played, like, King's Quest and Lemmings on the Amiga then and never had to deal with that shit.
Well, Lemmings... Yeah, Lemmings is a... pissed off every time I think about Lemmings, because Lemmings be available on everything. Should be available on everything. Yeah. Sony owns it and does not give a f.
That's right, it was, what the hell's the name of that company? Cygnosis.
It's Cygnosis.
That's right, they own Shadow of the Cygnosis. Beast as well. Because motherfuckers, I hate Sony so much.
Shadow of the Beast sucks, but it's really funny. Lemmings is even funnier. Published by Cygnosis, developed by Doesn't Mean Anything Design.
That's their name.
Doesn't mean anything.
DMA, Doesn't Mean Anything Design. Later known as Rockstar North.
Okay.
Which independently,
games did,
the...
Which games did Rockstar North make?
Grand Theft Auto 3, Grand Theft Auto Vice City, Grand Theft Auto San Andreas, Grand Theft Auto 4, Grand Theft Auto 4 Episodes from Liberty City, Grand Theft Auto 5, the soon-to-be-released Grand Theft Auto 6.
God, there's a direct line from Lemmings to Grand Theft Auto 6.
Damn right.
That's fucking hilarious.
Yep. If you actually look at a PS2 copy of Grand Theft Auto 3, it still tells you, like, developed by DMA Design. Ironically, officially DMA stood for Doesn't Mean Anything. Also, it sounds like it might also maybe at one point have stood for something like Direct Memory Access. Who can say? Lemmings is like the ideal Amiga game, and of course was ported to everything, but yeah. Like, its original home was the Amiga. That's the best version of it. But there's some really weird versions of Amiga, of Lemmings. There was an arcade version of Lemmings that didn't come.
That and Quest for Camelot is what I played in Amiga most, and
oh yeah, that's a classic.
I think I eventually tried to play it on the DOS version, and it didn't look or sound as good.
Yeah, in general, at the time, Amiga games would look and sound better. It wasn't until you get to like the era of Doom that DOS game will look significantly better than what the Amiga is able to achieve.
Yeah, I just played the Super Nintendo version of Doom the other day. It's like, okay, well, this runs, you know, it's
incredibly impressive. It's still not recommendable.
Right. It's like, I give you credit for making this work. I don't know how you pulled it off, but
it was created by a very talented programmer named Randy Linden, who would later go on to make Blue, the first like real PS1 emulator.
Wow. Hmm.
Bleem, speaking of things that shouldn't be...
Bleem Sync, yeah.
Well, speaking of things that shouldn't have... that shouldn't be acronyms, Bleem officially, at its inception, stood for Best Little Emulator Ever Made.
Well, that's why when you... If you hack the PS1 mini console, it's called Bleem Sync, is what they were using, or something. Yeah. Interesting.
Speaking of weird versions of first-person shooters, I played Duke Nukem Advance on the Evercade today.
That game's actually really impressive. It was made by an Australian Taurus Interactive. It
runs so well. Does it look
like?
Does it look great? No. Is it? Does it play? And is it fun? Yes.
Yeah. No. It's really good. That developer was also the studio responsible for porting Doom 2 to the GBA, and they did it by porting it into their technology they'd made for Duke Nukem.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I still remember the original Duke Nukem side-scrollers very fondly, so I kind of wish they'd bring those back at some point.
They did.
They did! On the Evercade.
On the Evercade.
On the Evercade, yay!
I think they're actually they're native ports for the Evercade as well. They're not emulated or anything.
Nice.
Yeah.
I think that's the only way to play a remastered version of those games.
But yeah, it seems like they went defunct in 2024. That's tragic. They'd lasted a long time. But yeah, they were an Australian that did all sorts of like just contract and porting grunt work. But way back in the day on like the GBA, they did some impressive work, most especially Duke Nukem Advance. I mean, they did like they did so much like porting grunt work that you've like heard of the game that they worked on or heard of the license that they worked on, but you know, it's just, you know, they were just doing any project to keep the doors open. God bless them. Doom 2, Minority Report, Everybody Run, Planet of the Apes.
I hate every ape I see.
Chimpanzee.
You'll never make a monkey of them.
Oh my gosh, I was wrong. It was Earth all along.
Oh, you finally made a monkey. Finally made a monkey. Oh, you finally.
I love you, Dr. Zaius.
Okay, like, this was a company so dedicated to taking whatever contract work they did that they made multiple Engage.
Oh, God.
Engage games in 2004. Ashen and Operation Shadow, both made by Taurus Games. Like, I have a lot of respect for these companies that just sort of, like, there is no job too thankless as long as it keeps the lights on. And, you know, like, I'm impressed that they lasted as long as they did. Like, again, 2024, their first games were like Beavis and Butthead on Game Boy. Which should tell you exactly when they started. Yeah, just a little respect for like the people that spend years of their lives doing their best to like keep the lights on and make games, and when you're making the most thankless project imaginable.
And hey, some of those thankless projects turn into pretty cool things, like
like Duke Nukem Advance.
Duke Nukem Advance is pretty cool.
Only like better than anyone had the right to expect out of like I'm playing Duke Nukem for my Game Boy Advance. Next, the agenda.
What's Fireminer saying in here? Now, why are you making me think of this song, Fireminer? Remember that incredibly annoying song, Cotton Eye Joe? Yes, yes, I do.
Where did you come from and where did you go?
Out the door now, Cotton Eye Joe. Bye-bye.
Yeah, made an eternal, like, remember that one-hit wonder by Swedish band Redneck.
Fireman, I know you're in Europe because you mentioned the song like it's a thing that's not still around and ever-present all the time.
I was just assuming that because usually Fire Miner greets us with a good morning.
Yes, that too. anyway, apparently there's a 90s parody FMV game called Inbred with Rednecks that starred the band members, and it was put on a promotional CD on the band, and the band was Swedish. Excluding anything from Japan, can you name another example of arts from other countries that parody America?
Heard that, like, so the issue is that I think that most of these are outside the Anglosphere, like, they don't export these to America that much.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you would probably be able to name more than we could, but definitely seen these on Asia.
First thing that pops to mind was something I saw in John Oliver a month or two back about film posters in Ghana.
Oh, Ghanaian films are incredible. Like, that's people making movies. Well,
we're not even talking about the films. We're talking about the posters that they come up with for foreign movies, where often the artist is given a bare description of what the movie might possibly be about and maybe some American promotional material. And they come up with a bespoke painted poster that has very little to do with the movie, but is looks just incredible.
I wish it did.
Yeah. So yeah.
Yeah. No.
Go check out the episode of John Oliver from like either June or July, and he commissioned his own for the show.
Oh yeah. No, I have actually genuinely nothing but respect for like the Ghanaian film industry. I've seen every so often like some random like a trailer for a deranged micro budget. A Ghanaian film will get some infamy on certain parts of the internet because it'll just be like this is like people exploding and like After Effects laser eyes and like just an inserted shot of like a base model from the video game Crysis, and it's like all I can think is like someone put their whole ass into making this with zero money. I have nothing but if you've never had the pleasure, I recommend the microcosm of the phenomena I just described would be go look up 12 o'clock 1, 2, and 3 on YouTube, where you will hear just immediately be greeted by a man shouting 12 o'clock and 3. It's and it will just be a series of like the most shit like pieces of scenes imaginable. Like, again, absolutely like zero budget, like weird ass action films. I have nothing but love for people that would that are just like, just do it. We are making a film, and I do not give a shit that we have no money. Two and three.
Fucking mimics. Fucking. Oh.
Yeah.
I've been swears and titles for shows because I would name this episode "Fucking Mimics."
I think you can.
The episode's title. Now, just calm down, mimics. I just want to talk. I'm trying to think of like, because yeah, like I mentioned, like the issue with finding parodies directly of America is that they typically don't get exported to America and often don't really enter the Anglosphere, and if they outside of like, you know, indie stuff. Yeah. And so like for a multitude of reasons, like cultural soft power and just generally like we don't want to piss off a potentially large market, or why would we market this here? Because what could we gain from that? Like, at best, we make a little bit of money. At worst, we piss a bunch of people off. So, I cannot name a ton of these off the top of my head, even though I am at least aware that they exist primarily in, you know, places where, you know, maybe there's plenty of places that would have a reason to be pissed off at America, and there's plenty of places that would have many feelings about about the soft power that makes these hard to export to here.
Yeah.
What's up, 12 o'clock?
Sorry, I'm like shell shocked by the mix right now.
Ooh, shell shock.
Oh, all right. What else does Fireminer put in chat here? There's a rumor of a Dirge of Cerberus remake because Gackt started cosplaying as Genesis. Is it? I don't know even know if I read that name right. Started playing his cosplaying as Genesis and said he went to Square Enix to record some voice lines. Of course, it's more likely that Genesis will just show up in Final Fantasy VII proper. But let's just say there will be a Dirge remake. Will they keep the broken gameplay? Or will they just make it bog-standard third-person shooter control?
I suspect that like there's no universe where like a modern dev team makes a Dirge of Cerberus remake, but even if they did, they would just make it play like a shooter.
Yeah.
Like, I don't like for, like the most I could say is that I don't foresee them like reworking it into a cover shooter, but it would like if we were trying to be faithful, I don't think anyone would make a game that felt like Dirge of Cerberus, because it's just feels like. Like, even, like, how to put this? If you were remaking it, you would put it into a modern Unreal. Like, that's just what we're starting with. And that would have all sorts of baked-in ways to try to make a shooter feel better. Like, because it's like, oh, well, this is how shooters are supposed to work, so there would be all sorts of, like, cooling just baked into Unreal Engine that would make a shooter feel better than Dirge of Cerberus did in 2006. If they were to make such a remake, and I believe it's correct that it's probably just that Genesis has some sort of role in FF7 Revelation, whether that be in side content or whether they like incorporate him into the conclusion in some fashion. But like if they were to make this, I have a few demands. First of which is they must also include the content from Dirge of Cerberus Lost Episode, a flip phone exclusive interquel that takes place in the middle of Dirge of Cerberus. I also demand that they include the additional content made for the kind of person with no self-preservation instincts who purchased Dirge of Cerberus, Dirge of Cerberus International, which was released in Japan in late 2008. I cannot imagine the sicko who, having seen Dirge of Cerberus come out, be wildly unpopular on both sides of the topic, and go into used game bins at remarkably markdown rates, being like, you know what, fuck it, I'm getting the international like version with all of its additional content. That seems useful to me. That's a good use of my time. I want to meet that sicko. I want to shake their hand and ask them many questions. But if they were to remake Dirge of Cerberus, I demand that content be in there. But yeah, like, I don't think that they would be able to make a game that felt as bad and kind of weird as Dirge of Cerberus, even by accident at this point. Even by intention, I should say. Like, I don't think there's a universe where they could successfully make it feel that weird. Also, everyone should go look up the scene at the end of the first chapter of Dirge of Cerberus where Reeve comes in to greet Vincent, is immediately shot and revealed to actually not be Reeve himself, but a catchy robot cat hiding inside of a Reeve doll robot thing. Just multiple layers of robot to go visit his dear friend Vincent Valentine. I think that's charming. I think that's important. It's 12 o'clock. Mm-hmm. Let's just post this trailer in the Discord so that everyone can know about 12 o'clock. On 2 and 3. This shit up for query string. Honestly, that's all.
1, 2, and 3. Hey, I'll four pop up.
12 o'clock. 1, 2, and 3. Now to me, it's a bit. I'll be a 1,000.
1, 2, and 3. Where can I watch this actual movie?
A huge pain in the ass to find, I'm sorry.
No.
Tantalizing.
Okay, I think Fireminer has more questions.
I believe it.
There is news that the Ukrainian first-person shooter You Are Empty from 2006 is getting remastered. The game is remembered for how dull and janky it is. Is there a point for the remaster to make it better?
I think that would kind of be missing the point.
Farmer said there's no new questions on the RP Gamer site.
Yeah, no, I checked. Okay. For once, I checked. But I appreciate you keeping an eye out for us. Fine. But yeah, like, especially with those games that are remembered in spite of, or in fact because, they do not succeed on a traditional level. If you haven't looked it up, go look up the box art for You Are Empty. It looks as shit, but I think at that point, like, trying to quote unquote fix it and make it traditionally good kind of misses the reason that anyone would remember it in the first place. But I had not heard about the remaster, so thank you for keeping us in the loop. Let's see, what time is it? I'm sure I actually get to sleep at a reasonable time. Okay, I've probably got about, 10 minutes.
Here we have to talk. We need a few minutes for Summer of Falcom. because we haven't done it in weeks.
Yes. Yeah, it's barely even summer.
Which is fine, because I've been distracted by other things, but... Mm-hmm. Also, it's been rainy and it hasn't felt like summer, and... Despite people going back to school in September, summer runs through most of September. There's still lots of summer.
I missed rain.
Yes.
Seattle, I deserve more rain.
Summer as defined by the calendar and summer as defined by the social calendar are two different things.
Yes.
Yeah, it's going to rain on Saturday.
Much like... I mean, this is one of the wonderful vagaries of English and, you know, European culture in general, but just imagine trying to explain next Saturday versus this Saturday in a way that makes sense to somebody who's not grown up with English. Mm. When
don't
you
want
have to. Yeah, when the other when neither the other person nor possibly yourself actually realizes that there that English basically has two different definitions of week. One which is Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. The other one which is just 7 days in a row, and these do not have to overlap. So. Yeah. So, yeah. Okay, sorry. Just had a flashback.
Okay. No.
Yeah.
But anyway,
East... But yeah, it's like, why is it this Saturday? Because it's still in this week. But it's that... was like, no. It's like...
English okay. is dumb. Because it's the next
one. I'm sorry, it doesn't make sense. You're just going to have to live with that.
Yeah. No, it makes sense. You just have to figure out where the sense is coming from in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
So... It's people like trying to
end up hearing it out constantly because they have to hear it all the time.
Yeah. It's like how prepositions in English and grammar particles in Japanese technically do the same stuff while not at all doing the same thing. So. Oh well.
So, East 10 Proud Nordics is the only Fall Combat game I've been playing recently, because my turn-based RPG time has been spent on trying to finish Fire Emblem Engage before the new one comes out. Which has been fun, because that game kicks ass. But, yeah, East 10 Proud Nordics is extremely good.
Yep.
It's an sure is. Interesting change of pace from 9, because 9, obviously, you got the one city you're mostly going around, and now you're sailing all over the fucking place.
Mm-hmm.
But the combat is very different in a good way, which is nice, because they've kind of been on this three-character system for a while, so now you only have two characters, which you can switch between, but also do unison attacks. Which is kind of also how you block. Like, you have to, like, combine them together to block. So it's been a very interesting battle system. But also... made me realize how bad switching between games is for your brain, because I wasted, like, 10 minutes trying to figure out where to go next and realized that, oh, yes, that's right. One of these characters can make platforms of ice... out of standing water, and that's how I get up onto this ledge I spent 10 minutes trying to get up to, and I did it accidentally.
I did the same thing, and I think I know what part you might be talking about, and
yeah.
What happened was I brute forced it. Like, I was able to kind of glitch into it on the hoverboard. So.
Oh my god. That's what I was trying to do. I was like, how the hell do I get... is there some hoverboard trick I forgot to do? And then I was just like messing around and accidentally did a charged attack and made a platform of ice and felt like an idiot. But yeah, that game is great. It looks and runs great on Switch 2, because damn, those games don't look that different than they did on the Vita.
Honestly, that's probably the reason that Falcom can afford to continue making.
Yeah. That's, and should be noted, that's not a complaint.
Not a bad thing.
No,
totally they look fine.
They look fine. It runs great, so it's all good.
I'm gonna tell you that I had East 10 Proud Nordics on PS5, and then I got the Trails in the Sky First Chapter on Switch 2, and it's like they look almost the same. They really do. Yeah, it's fine.
There's a reason.
Yeah,
it's the same engine, for sure.
Yeah. that's it. With PS5, you get maybe a little bit of extra draw distance and anti-aliasing. That's about it.
It doesn't really add anything at all, to be honest.
No.
But yeah, that's been it for Falcom stuff right now. I'm going to play some more Trails. Is it Trails into Zero? Is that the...
Trails from Zero.
Trails from Zero. They all just...
From Zero to Azure.
Okay. Trails from Zero.
You skipped Trails in the Sky the Third, and therefore are going to have at least one subplot that just feels like it came out of nowhere.
I'm trying to play that on the side as well, but... If I don't escape from playing these games on PC, I'm gonna be stuck forever. I just have to move on. I do not enjoy playing them on PC. I do not enjoy playing them even on the Steam Deck. It just grinds my gears. I can't do it anymore. So I'm gonna have to try and I either blitz through third chapter on the side on PC, or try and get the English patched Vita version or something going. But yeah, if I don't start on Zero, I'm gonna be stuck forever, and I want to play a lot of these games. Unfortunately, how far into Zero is that subplot? Is there some point where I should have finished third?
I mean, they'll start seeding it early on. It doesn't, like, pays off near the end.
Okay.
You will start noticing it. Like, it's something that kind of started in second chapter, and then, like, advances significantly in third. And then, like, fully finishes in From Zero.
Well, I mean, based on what I've played of third so far, and considering who the main character is, I kind of have some ideas. But yeah, I'm going to do my best to do both.
He's also great because Kevin is just a really interesting character.
He's great.
Like, given, like, third, like, really picking up right from that, nature effect of the ending of chapter. Okay. We should probably start wrapping this up so that I can get enough sleep to not regret it in the morning.
We should probably start mentioning when we're going to be away.
Yes. I will be on an extended leave for about 3 weeks of September. So there will probably only be limited podcasts in September. I know that we're intending to have, like, some sort of mini episode that will release during that time. Like, these clowns might get together and record something.
I mean, I'm going to try and get us together to record an extra episode before you go, so we can put it out in there. I'm going to continue to do the streams Monday night, most likely, not official episodes of any variety.
Yeah, so I will be gone on the 14th, 21st, and probably 28th September, because, like, technically I'll be home by the 28th, but I will probably be jet lagged to shit. So there will not be podcasts that I am party to on those dates. Normally we would have podcasts at around 8:30 p.m. Pacific, 11:30 p.m. Eastern on Monday. So, you know, if you wanted to catch us do those, you'd go to twitch.tv/RPGamer or Wales. What's the other place I can go?
Twitch.tv/AskWheels, which I'm not streaming on tonight because I am experimenting with a new streaming thing. And for this, you'll just look for me on Blue Sky. That's God, what do Blue Sky links
look like? Askwheels.bsky.social.
Yeah, you're just search for Askwheels on Blue Sky if you're not already following me. And when we're live, I will do a post. It should also like show live next to my name, I think.
It does right now. I just checked.
But Leah, look for that post, which will have a link, and then you can go in there, and it's got its own chat room and whatnot. I can't turn the volume on and listen to see how that's streaming, because that would create weird echoes. But just based on the video and the stats it's showing me, it seems to be working well, so we're gonna see how that goes.
Lesson our dependence on him.
Yes.
So that is where you can find us. Mostly, you know, we're going to be, you know, a little less consistent for a few weeks. Maybe you have some books you could read.
Well, as luck would have it, I'm about to start the end of summer sale for Princesses of the Pizza Parlor. Because the final two episodes are going live next Sunday. Just together, because I had the books, I had the covers. We're like, okay, let's just do this. So, starting in, let's see, what time is it now? Okay, so it's 12:14 Central. Starting in about 2 hours, we're gonna have like the first episode and a couple of the side stories free for the next 5 days, and then everything else at a discount.
And won't even have to wait that long for the thrilling conclusion.
Yeah, and the thrilling conclusion is available for pre-order, or you just buy it on Friday or next Sunday. It's like, all good. So we shall see how well this one goes. My author's birthday sale in January was a little underwhelming. But I mean,
tell your friends.
Yes, but please, yes, tell your friends. I will be posting more on Blue Sky about this, and just like, hello, sale, check it out.
The gang's all here. It's fine. The war and peace has been warred and peace.
Yes. And it did not even take 50 easy installments, just 21, apparently. So.
Mm-hmm. That's how they get you.
Yep. But yeah, so Princesses of the Pizza Parlor on Kindle and Kindle Unlimited under the name Michael Yarimizu, Yarimizu. Partly because my actual name is very difficult to search up on any search engine, and also because my in-laws were just very nice to let me use the family name. So we're all good. So anyway, so
terminally ungoogleable.
Yes. Oh no. It's like the opposite problem. It's not that it's impossible to search up Michael Baker, it is that it is impossible to figure out which specific one I am.
Yes, that's what I mean. Like there's thousands of these. Who can say?
Yes. But yeah, whereas Mike, MAIKELYARIMIZU is remarkably simple to find. Okay. Anyway.
Not a lot to conflate it with.
Yep. And so is only this one series is on sale right now, but there's other books under that name and under Michael Spearwater, SPEARWATER, that are not on sale, but they're not that expensive either. I am not up on the current price of a Starbucks cafe latte, but it's probably that or less. Yeah. Probably less for most of them.
You can stand to, especially, you know, it's on sale. You might as well take advantage.
Yeah.
Latte you should get is $6.66, although that includes an extra espresso shot.
So I'll pitch everything I have available in ebook format is cheaper than that. I mean, if you want it more expensive, there are the paperback versions, but those exist largely so I have a copy at home. I do not expect a lot of paperback sales ever.
But if you're a physical collector, the option is there.
Yes. Yes. And I do recommend physical copies. I understand that I'm definitely going to sell more ebook copies and not that many to begin with in either format. But yeah, and
there will be other things.
If Amazon just randomly decides to put one of my paperbacks on extreme sale, which has happened a few times in the past, I have managed to convince friends to run an experiment and prove that I do get full royalties while Amazon is charging half of the actual print cost for this paperback. So, so cost Amazon money. Yes. Okay.
Do it.
So what?
Do it. Do it.
What you're telling me is, if your books are on sale, I absolutely should buy them because it costs Amazon money, and you get the same amount.
Yes. If it's not a sale, if it's a sale that their algorithm has set, which happens sometimes with paperbacks that aren't very popular, aren't selling very well, then that will happen from time to time.
Interesting.
I recall a period where it was like volumes 1 and 3 or something that were like perpetually.
It was only volumes 1 and 3. We do not know. We do not know why.
Yeah, genuinely weird. But yeah.
Oh, and also that, for a while, the fourth book, Cookies and Campers, was also on extreme sale, and I talked to Paws in buying that one just to check, and it's like, yeah, it was like $3, and I got $4 in royalty. So.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Take advantage. Support your local indie author. Support your indie games. Yes. Also, Joe, where can we find you?
You can find me on twitch.tv/rpgamer on Tuesday and Thursday nights starting around 10 p.m. Eastern Time. I did one stream of Pokemon Pokapia and one stream of Splatoon Raiders, and then went back to my regularly scheduled programming this week, which was, you know, Kingdom Hearts 2, the final mix.
Yeah.
And wow, like, what an improvement over the first game. You know, so many little quality of life things. It's just more fun to play. It's easier. You know, I'm getting a lot of these bosses in one try instead of, you know, 5 or 6 or whatever. So, yeah, definitely having a very good time with Kingdom Hearts 2, let me tell you. And, yeah, then I've still been playing other stuff on the side. So I did check out, you know, the Bubbly Basin DLC for Pokapia, and I did get past another of the main bosses in Splatoon Raiders, so those are coming along. And you can find me on YouTube under Smokin' Joe Gamer, and also you can follow me on Blue Sky if you want. And then the past couple days I've been playing Banjo-Kazooie, and as part of the Rare Replay Collection, and I never beat that game because I played it when it came out, I borrowed it from somebody, I unlocked all the stages, but I never got it past that door that requires 465 music notes, and then they wanted the game back. And so, and then when I got the Rare Replay Collection, I was so excited, and I played each game a little bit, and then, you know, some of these N64 games just are a little tricky to play. That's all, with the cameras and other things going on.
I played Blast Corps again.
Yeah, and so for the first time ever, I made it to that board game section. And you got to answer questions and do other challenges. And if you fail, then you lose a hit point. If you die, you have to start all over. And I finally got through that, only to discover, okay, well, you need an additional 810, you need 810 total notes to get to the next part. But then you need to get all of the puzzle pieces if you actually want to fight Gruntilda.
You don't need all of them? But you need so many that it might as well be all of them. You need like 90% of them.
Yes, so during this podcast episode, I discovered that in the snow level, while flying, you have to kill all of the snowmen by using your flying charging attack, and you have to hit them right on the X on their stovepipe hats, and there's like 5 of them, and I'm like, it took me like an hour to do that. And then you got to fly all the way on top of the big snowman in the middle, and there's a puzzle piece inside of an ice cube enemy, but I fell off and died and had to do it all over again.
Now, luckily, the Xbox 360 version, on which the Rare Replay version is based, does mean that the game ditched its entire like mechanic for note scores. So you don't have to collect all the notes in a level without dying. Collecting them keeps them forever.
That's
much nicer.
I forgot that they did that in the original, and that's good. Because I would have been
system.
I would have been ripping my hair out otherwise. Oh wow. And yeah, so I think there's good level design, despite the fact that I don't like some of the themes. I'm like, well, wait a minute, they've got a desert level and a sewer level and a swamp level and an ice level. And it's like, I normally don't like some of these themes, but it works. And there's good level design. The only level I can't stand is the Rusty Bucket Bay, because you lose more oxygen while submersed, and then you don't get any of it back until you get all the way onto dry land. You can't just go up to the surface to get your air back. So,
okay, that sucks.
Yeah, so that's been a
very mean level.
So anyways, that's what I've been playing the past couple days, and it's driving me crazy, although this game is peak, though, let me tell you.
Things I always liked about Freeze Easy Peak, the ice level, is that it's not just like an ice level, it's specifically like a weird Christmas level.
Yes. And there's that stupid polar bear, and like, you have to wake him up, and then you have to race him, and you can't win the race.
You have to wake him up.
Yeah. You need to get the fast shoes in order to beat him in the race. And then he goes back to his house, and he's like, oh, I'm tired, go find my kids' presents. So it's like, he abandons his children on Christmas, and then he's so fucking lazy that you have to go get his kids' presents that are scattered throughout the level, as they're just bawling their eyes out. Yeah.
I would like to point out that Boggy is lying down in the snow, not because he is tired per se, but because he saw a solid gold jigsaw puzzle and ate it.
Yeah. He's a dick. So.
Yeah. Catch those. Joe's a regular streamer. Always a fun time.
I feel like after I finally play through both those games, Yooka-Laylee is going to make a lot more sense.
Yooka Replay-Lee, like, for anyone who played Yooka-Laylee and did not click with it, go play Replay-Lee. Like, it is
better than
you could imagine.
And so it's funny because I made it to the the Egyptian sand level. And that's where I learned the last move I was missing. And
yeah, that's where you get those shoes.
Right. And then that's when I recalled, I'm like, wait a minute, at the beginning of Yooka Replay-Lee, Laylee lies to the book and it's like, oh yeah, we already learned all those moves. You know, just give us all the moves. Yeah, we did that already. We got all those pages. Remember?
Yeah.
It's so great. So yeah, and Yooka Replay-Lee, you start the game like very early on. You just get like four moves that normally would take a little while to unlock, I think.
It makes it so much better too.
So I recommend that. And yeah. No, so I thought you guys would get a kick out of my experience with Banjo-Kazooie. I'm gonna beat it, I swear. I rolled credits.
You are so close.
Yeah, I rolled credits and saved Tootie, but I didn't defeat Gruntilda, and it's like, no, she's going down. She just taunts you the whole game with her stupid rhymes, and she just needs to die. And when I was a teenager, though, I'll tell you what, like, I watched that entire game over screen so many times, and you probably know why. Yeah, but hey, I knew I was straight. That's all I'm going to tell you. Okay. So,
in any case, let's and that's how we're gonna close this one out.
I thought that was a great way to end the episode. Absolutely.
Okay, so yes, ask us questions if you catch us when we're streaming, or ask us questions in the RPGamer Discord by going to rpgamer.com and clicking the community tab. You can get a invite into the RPGamer Discord.
Yeah, the community, whether you want. Taking this question you left us and saving it for next episode. Forgot about it.
Yes, we will actually use the show notes next episode.
Yeah.
We promise, yes. But,
oh, I didn't read those. Oops.
Neither did I.
Don't worry, Wheels didn't either.
Yeah, for once, I forgot to read my own show notes.
You wrote them.
For one. Big air quote. But yeah, you can also ask us questions by asking questions under the most recent handful of episodes on rpgamer.com.
Oh, God, we can't end the episode yet.
Why?
Sorry, we're going to have to drag this out for another 5 minutes or
so.
We have to talk about Dust Bloods.
No, we'll save it for next week.
Okay. The short story. Game sucks. Don't listen to people out there.
Okay.
That's all.
Okay.
Hang on, we'll talk about it. I'm sure we will talk about it again when the game comes out. But yeah.
I don't know that we will, because I don't think I'm buying it.
I'll buy it because I'll be playing it with my brother.
nice.
You couldn't convince me to buy another like single player Souls game. I'm done. I don't care anymore. Multiplayer to play with my brother, sure.
Nice.
Fair enough.
That wraps it up for this week. See you, Space Cowboys.
See you.
Okay.
See ya.
See you.
About MP3.